days. He was one of my favorite youth pastors. When we get to church camp, I was always watching him from a distance. From a distance. Let me tell you something. One more word. From a distance, this guy was crazy. I made sure that even though I loved him and I watched him intently, I always wanted to make sure that no one associated me with him. He was that youth pastor. He was a youth pastor that would do something crazy. So it'd be like 11 o'clock at night, and he'd have his youth out. He would have them out. It didn't matter if the director of the youth camp said, "Hey, everybody, hey, lights out at 11. Not this youth pastor. This youth pastor would have his group out, and you would all hear them chanting from the distance, "Do something crazy, do something crazy." Every single night. I mean, it would be anything from, it would be a dare of some sort. I don't know what it would be, but it would, I remember, from a distance. But I would hear them chant. We would be in Tennessee, and so there was rolling mountains, and so you would hear them down the hill, "Do something crazy." And then all of a sudden, you'd hear a kid barf. And I'd be like, "Man, I love Alan. Alan's my favorite. He's the best." Now, you know, in the natural, when you hear "do something crazy," you start thinking about that type of a youth pastor. You think about doing something crazy. You know, I like to use the definition of crazy in the world perspective of it's crazy because it's not normal. But you know, I want us to do something supernatural. I want us to do something that's outside of the norm. I want us to be a projection of the things of God. So when I read the Bible, I see all sorts of things happening. And quite frankly, if I use the definition of the world, I'd say it's crazy. Man, I want to see supernatural, amazing things take place. And it's going to take somebody who's willing to do something crazy, something that's outside of the norm, something that's not been taught. You know, that's unique. You know, I have a little daughter in my house, and every single day, it's something crazy. Every single day. Many of you probably have had girls. If you didn't have a girl in your house and all you had were boys, well, you were saved. Some of you men in this room, you're like, "All I wanted was that football player." Nope, you didn't. You know, or sorry, not sorry. All you wanted was a little girl, a little cheerleader, and all you got were football players. Well, guess what? It's okay. Because my daughter is a wrecking ball. And so every single day, there's something unique that takes place. Her stuff is everywhere in the house. It's everywhere. You know, I want to mimic that in the supernatural, that everywhere that we go, we're doing something crazy, doing something in a way that it is everywhere, that there's remnants of it where people are like, "Wow, something supernatural is taking place right here." It's important. It's so important. You know, as a child growing up this time of season, I remember all of the commercials. And at the end of each commercial, there would always be this one catchphrase at the very end. It was a marketing lawyer term, and that was, "Batteries not included, sold separately," right? So I think, "Batteries not included, sold separately." Now, man, not batteries not included. Now, as a child, I didn't care, right? I didn't care because, you know, that didn't really bother me. My parents were in charge of that legal jargon. They're the ones who are going to show up with the amount of batteries. They're going to make sure whatever I saw on television, all of it is in that room that morning. So better none of it be separated, all right? All of it better be together. But I remember that slogan, and as I've gotten older, that's one of those slogans that are like, that's a complicated phrase. That's a worldly gimmick of batteries not included and sold separately. Well, what I see, I better get all of it. Not portions of it, but all of it. Well, you know what? This is one of the things I love about what I read earlier during offering here is that when you are in tuned with the Spirit of Christ, it's all together. It's not separated. There aren't portions here and there. No, it's all together. And so when I read 1 Peter 2:24, it says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. So by his wounds, you have been healed." You guys, when I read that scripture, it didn't say certain sins. It didn't say some sins. It didn't say that sin or this sin. It said sins, period. all of it, all together. It was all taken care of. And so there's not this portion of me that is somewhat dirty. It's all been cleansed. Why? Because of what Jesus did. And so for us, nothing should be separate. We don't have this worldly view of, oh man. So God's placing that for a purpose. He's placing that upon us, this no more sin, this righteousness that we can walk in for a purpose. There's a reason. And so when I start thinking about my daughter and thinking about all the crazy things she does in this world, I think, man, my God's got something better than all that the world has to give us. You know, my daughter, she's in everything, arts and crafts and videos. And oh, I mean, she's everywhere all the time. She wants to be an astronaut. She wants to be all these things. And it is crazy. She doesn't leave me alone on the couch. I'm just wanting to zone out for a second. She comes in. Hey, Dad. I'm like, no, no. Just go away. I love you. Go away. I'm using this, though, as an example to say that what's beautiful about this picture is that my God has some wonderful things in store for every one of us in this room. He's got something for each and every one of you in this room. And it's going to be, and it is, glorious because he's putting it all together. He knows everything about you. He has the best of the best ready. He's giving you the best of the best. Some of you in this room, you haven't been awoken to this best of the best just yet. And so for this Christmas, I want it all. I want it all. So I'm reading in the scriptures, and I come across Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, "For in Christ, all the fullness of this deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you are also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, and in which you were also raised with him through your faith and the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." All, not some, all. So I want to go back to what I was just saying about my daughter. Here she has all of these things at her fingertips, and Daddy wants to give her all the things. Right? She asked for some markers. So what did I do? I didn't buy her the 12 marker set. I didn't even buy her the 24 marker set. I bought her the 80-some marker set. I wanted her to have all the colors, right? I love it. So then this past week, I go upstairs, and there's markers in front of my door. Carly, is this where the markers belong? She goes, nope. I said, well, where do they belong? She goes, maybe my room. And I said, yes, put them somewhere. I woke up this morning, guess where those markers are? Still in front of my door. Right in front of my door, right in the hallway, just hanging out there. And I look at them, I'm like, my goodness, right? They're just everywhere. Everywhere she is, everything she does, it's everywhere. It doesn't matter. I mean, I was out west this past year, and I'm sitting on top of a giant mountain, and I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I look down and I pull out this long blonde hair. I go, doesn't matter where I go, she's there. And I just watched it fly away, and I'm thinking, not my hair. I don't pull the Thor very well. All right? Everywhere she is. Now, this is natural stuff I'm talking about. She's got her hands in everything. She's doing everything. She wants everything. And I'm willing to give it to her in the natural. Now, you guys know the scripture, right? In the natural, if your father's willing to give you good gifts, what's he going to do, right? So, you know what? This Christmas, I want it all. I want it all. There's nothing wrong with asking that. God, I want it all. I want it all. I want, in my Christmas this year, all of him. I want everything he has to offer. So I got four things that I want to talk about this morning that are included in the all. That when you say, I want Jesus Christ in my Christmas, that I want the best of the best and I want it all, these are four, and I just picked out four. These are the four that I want. Now, you might want to get your own, all right? You may want these four things, but I want these four things this Christmas, all right? So this is number one. I want a deep, a deeper expectancy for the things of God. I want a deep expectancy for the things of God. So I got two steps that we can follow to achieve this Christmas. And these are actually just examples that Jesus gives us. Pure and simple. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. There are so many descriptive words right here in this one verse. First one, very early. Not early, very early. Very early, morning time, early. It was still dark. It was dark. Have you guys ever woken up really early and you drove out onto the road and you're like, I mean, you could literally gotten in your car blindfolded and started driving. Ain't nobody on the roads, right? And you could have just been like, today I'm going to turn any way I want and not even look. No one's out. That's a key part of this because why? There's no distractions. There's no distractions this early in the morning. Still dark. Jesus got up. He left the house and went off into a solitary place, a place where there was nobody, no one whatsoever. And what did he do? He prayed. He prayed. So I love this next verse in verse 36. Step two, by the way, step two. Simon and his companions went to go look for him. They woke up. Well, where's Jesus? He's gone. And when they found him, they exclaimed, everyone is looking for you. I know the fact that Jesus don't care. Not even a little bit. Jesus just replied, didn't even acknowledge the fact that everybody's looking for me. Jesus doesn't care. He said, well, let us go somewhere else. To the nearby villages, he says, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Now, I love the fact it's like, you know, he went preaching and then they just slowly just threw in there and driving out demons. Not a big deal. Just an everyday occurrence of doing something crazy, right? Jesus just says, I'm going to do it. There are so many valuable things in this group of scriptures. Why? Because for us, it's an example for us to follow, but a knowing that Jesus knew what he was supposed to do. He came, he woke up in the morning, he got up and he said, I'm going to pray. And he went off into a solitary location and he prayed. When they came to find him, they told him, he said, hey, where have you been? We've been looking for you. And he goes, hey, let's go to this next village. Let's go, because this is why I came. I came to what? To preach, to set people free, right? And so he knew his purpose. He knew his calling. This was an everyday occurrence for him. This was I'm going to go pray. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to start preaching, and I'm going to start healing. I'm going to start seeing people be set free. I'm bringing the good news. There was a purpose in this. So in this moment for us to expect a deeper or have a deeper expectancy for the things of God, it comes from step one, which is prayer, a time of sacrifice, of time to say, you know what? I'm going to wake up and I'm going to be devoted to the things of God. And when I am and I'm willing to be that way, God reminds me of why I'm here. And waking up to that, I am here for this. When you are where you are more aware of the surroundings you're in to do the supernatural, to expect and see the things of God. You're going to see God show up where you are. That's what's so wonderful about this. Jesus gives us such a clear example of being fully engaged in the moment. He caught things people didn't even catch. He knew when someone touched his robe. Now, some of you would be like, well, that was Jesus. No, that was the anointing that was upon him, the same anointing that he said that you and I have. He's given us this same anointing. There are people, man, people that are desiring the things of God. They don't even know where to go. They don't even know what to do. But you have the answer. And when you are aware of your surroundings and you have the ability to give and project the things of God, then you are walking in a greater anointing and people are going to be attracted to this. But you need to be aware of your surroundings. You need to listen to these little trigger words and these moments of how people are reacting and what's going on in their life to step up and to be Jesus for them. This is a good example for us that when you're in your environment at your workplace and you hear all of the devastation, the negativity, this is where you can just say, hey, man, let me share something with you. And whatever comes out of your mouth next is a leaning in on God to give you those words to say. I'm not going to give you this perfect phraseology for you to walk in. I want you to get it from him himself. He knows what people are going through. He knows what they need. So don't even put this weight on your shoulders of like, I've got to have the right words. You're not going to have the right words. God's going to have the right words. You're putting it all on you, right? Now listen, he was always on purpose. Jesus was always on purpose. Here's the deal. His movement and pace, let's just put it this way. He walked to the beat of his own drum, right? Jesus did what he needed to do. There were so many times people had expectations placed on him. They would tell him where he needs to be, what he should be doing. Jesus is like, no, that's not what I'm supposed to do. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I'm supposed to say. This is where I'm supposed to go. Guys, in paying attention to the details, you actually are walking in the same footsteps as Jesus, of stopping and breathing for a second, pausing and observing what's taking place. We just that hustle and bustle, man. It causes us to miss some big expectancies, the deeper expectancies of seeing the power and the manifestation of God in our lives. Because why? Because we're just going point A, point Z, and we're going fast. Guys, when we see opportunity for God's power to be revealed, that's when that deeper expectancy you've been praying for is revealed. It's acknowledging the fact that God wants to move, and you're willing to say, all right, I want him to move as well. And you're going to start walking in a different pace and a different movement. You're going to start being more observant about what's going on around you versus this idea of it's just about me and it's all about what I need to do. This is important. Slow down. Pray. And then when you come out of prayer, be aware of what God has for you. Number two, I want a level up mentality this Christmas. I don't want to stay right here. I want more maturity. I want a greater understanding of God. I want to see things supernaturally. I want a level up mentality. I want people to take notice that something's different about you. That's what I want to see. I want to see Jesus' words being so and more clearer than ever before. But I want to see it in a way that in this world right now, what we're encountering, that we are actually to combat it in the right way. So here's what I love about John chapter 20, verse 21. And Jesus says this, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Guys, when I talk to people being more aware of the surrounding, man, people are just anxious. Over the top. Oh man, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I hear words, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I hear this all the time. Oh man, you don't know what I've been going through. You know, that's a famous phrase. Guys, you hear it. Especially during Christmas time, you hear the oh me's, the oh my's. Oh, what if, coulda, woulda, shouldas, and everything else. Jesus comes in and says, peace be with you. That's some heavy words. Jesus comes to bring us peace, right? Peace on earth. You know, have you ever heard of the statement, you got to get your ducks in a row? Right? We've all heard this. All right, we got to get our ducks in a row. But after you get your ducks in a row, who's leading? I was a college pastor for years, and that was like my favorite group of people. I love you too, but college kids are way cooler than you. And here's why, because they haven't got nothing in a row, nothing. So to give them Jesus at their age, to say, hey, Jesus is number one. All right, when you put Jesus first, he puts your ducks in a row. Too often we try to put our ducks in a row and then we try to lead. And we mess it all up. We mess it up quick. So I think that when Jesus says, peace be with you, it's the peace of knowledge of knowing that he's the peace maker. That when you know that he's leading, it's all good. You guys remember department stores? You don't really go to them too often nowadays, but I remember my wife and I went this past week, and I started thinking about, I haven't been in a department store in forever. I just buy everything online now. But I started thinking about that childhood memory of getting lost, right? Getting lost in the store, and then, you know, you find the one rack of clothes, and you dive down into it, and you hide there forever because you think it's fun, but mama don't. And then mama's looking. Well, you hope mama's looking. Just saying. But I think about this notion for us that we want this peace. I remember as a child jumping into that clothes rack, and I came out looking for mom. Mom wasn't looking for me. She didn't know I was gone. But I remember looking for mom going, hey! And I'm pretty sure mama knew where I was at, but this was a lesson for me to be learned. I was like, oh, no, I'm going to play this game. If he thinks he can hide from me, I'm going to hide from him. Well, guess what? She did a better job. She did a better job than Bigfoot, I think. So Bigfoot's not real. I just went through that out there. So I'm thinking in my brain that with this notion of peace, I remember coming out of there going, not having peace because why? The person who leads me isn't in front of me. And I was super nervous. So listening to people talk, and I hear that same notion of no peace. Of no peace. No, I don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, and I got to do this things. And I got to put all of this. And I've got to do these things. For me, it's just a blaring alert signal of, you don't have the peace of God. And you need to grab the peace of God. You're the one trying to put your ducks in a row, and they're not getting in a row. And you're thinking, well, I can lead them, but that's the wrong stinking thinking. You need to be aware that Jesus is what takes place first. And then everything follows suit. Everything is placed in order where it should be, and how it should flow. What am I trying to say here this morning? We can put systems in place. We can build structure. You can have great organization. But where's Jesus? Jesus is number one. You know, I can try to create systems in my own life. I can have these ideas. This is going to be cool. It's going to be cute. It's going to be relevant. But is it Christ-centered? Is it what's important? Our level up that we must be and what we should do in order to have a mental level up moment is it needs to be Jesus focused. When we take the mission off making disciples, when we start taking our own idea of position over Jesus, maybe you got where you are because of Jesus, but then you elevated that position over him and you started worrying more about the position of not losing it or actually gaining more position, then you lose focus on why you were there to begin with. You lose focus on what Jesus is doing. Now, all of you know this statement. If you grew up as a Christian or you've been a Christian for at least a year, you've heard this, but what's it going to cost to follow Jesus? Everything. If you want a level up mentality, it's a leveling down in everything that you think has real purpose. John 15:5, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. John 3:30, he must become greater, I must become less. To rise up, to expect a level up in mentality, this is going to take place, and it's going to have to take place, is that you level down in self. That you level down in self, you level down in position, that you put God before you, in front of you, around you, inside of you, because it's all about Him. I want a level up mentality, and I challenge you to take that same position of wanting a level up mentality. Number three, this Christmas, I want it all. I want a clear vision for my life. I want a clear vision for my life. I don't want to ever say, ever again, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Man, I loathe that statement. Loathe it. A clear vision for my life. Matthew 6:33, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What I've discovered as I work on me, is that the most important thing in my life, my high purpose, is my relationship with Jesus. That's it. There's a reason that Jesus tells us to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. There's a purpose to this. When He is first, everything else has a way of finding its place and working out. My purpose has less to do with my position and more to do with Jesus. That's it. For some of us in this room, we're really stuck on this. But I want, and I say it again, a clear vision for my life. I want a clear vision. God's talking and I want to listen. Rick Warren in The Purpose-Driven Life, in this book, he says this: the purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment. Your peace of mind, or even your happiness, is far greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why you were placed on this planet, you must begin with God. You were born by His purpose and for His purpose. Period. Wherever I find myself, this is important for everyone to pay attention. Wherever I find myself, I can be in the will of God. Now that goes against some old school teaching. Maybe you're sitting here and you start getting a little doctriney on me. But listen to what I just said. Wherever I find myself, this is important, I can be in the will of God. A lot of people have this idea, notion that they go, man, you're looking for this hidden treasure of sorts. And like you are in the will of God when you have Jesus inside of you. When you have Jesus inside of you, then the will of God is happening no matter where you are. There is a fulfillment taking place when you're doing the commands of God. When you are living it out, when you are living out your walk with Jesus Christ, everywhere you are in the will of God. As I mentioned earlier, Jesus giving this example of being aware of what's happening, that you have a fulfillment and a purpose on your life of knowing right there, wherever you are, that you are to make disciples for Jesus Christ, that you're to be the example for Jesus Christ. So no matter where I find myself, I am in the will of God, that I am purpose-driven in my life, that I'm willing to speak to people, that I'm willing to be that example, that I'm willing to pray for people. Everywhere I am, this is the will of God. When we live out Jesus as our purpose, then and only then, can we leave what Jesus left behind? Purpose. If you are leaving purpose behind you for everyone to see, then you are walking in the presence of God. You are in His will everywhere you are. When you are aspiring people to do things for the purpose of God, when you are connected to the vine, you're producing good fruit. People around you are healthy. People around you are changing. People around you are setting up a position in Jesus Christ because they're seeing the position that you've been set up in Jesus Christ. They are paying attention to you. They are mimicking you. They are watching you. Remember what Paul said, follow my example as I follow his example. One of the hardest things to say. That's tough. Are you willing to say it? Everywhere I am, I want to be in the will of God. So therefore, I make the statement that where I am in the will of God. Because I've chosen to do his will. I've chosen to be a vessel for his kingdom. Why? Because I'm kingdom-minded and I'm living in his righteousness. That I know that I'm victorious everywhere I go. That I'm a blessing everywhere I go. Right? Anna, I'm going to tell about a bad story on you and me. Please forgive me. I'm only saying this because I know it's true about all of you women in this room. You don't know how to keep a kitchen sink clear. Or sorry, kitchen, not bathroom sink clear. I've been to some of your bathrooms, and it's clear. And I'm thinking, that's just because I'm here. Because I know that you guys love bottles. You love hairspray bottles, gel bottles, facial bottles. You love tons of tweezers. Not just one tweezers, 16 different types of tweezers. You've got all these different scissors. You've got makeup brushes. You got all of this stuff all over the sink. I remember going looking at a house years ago because we were one of those people, you know, ever so often Anna gets a wild hair of wanting a new house. I threw her under the bus on that one. She's definitely that person. I'm not that person necessarily, but she's that person. So we go look at this house, and I remember walking in this bathroom, and I looked at the realtor immediately, and I go, I want this house. He goes, this is the bathroom. What's the big deal about it? I go, because there's a man sink and a woman sink. The woman sink is literally like 15 feet away from my sink. I was like, this is amazing. I said, I didn't know they made bathrooms like this. This is how rich people live, and I want to live this way. This is glorious. She looked at me. You should have seen her. It gave me that eye. I remember walking out of the house, and she goes, you're not getting that house. I'm kidding. She didn't say that. I felt that, though. I felt it. Because we didn't get that house. I would have bought it there, hands down. Why am I telling you all this? Because last night, I said something that was not very nice. And she goes, you just think I'm dirty, don't you? And I look at her and I go, maybe. And she says to me, she goes, why don't you just start telling me that I'm not dirty? Maybe the reason why I am so dirty is because you keep telling me that I am. And I was like, well, I don't know what to do right now, what you're saying. This is a weird argument. And then she goes, why don't you start telling me that I'm clean? Maybe I'll start being clean. Why don't you start believing in the best of me and not the worst of me? So then I was like, geez, oh, Pete, she's Jesus juking me, right? So then I started thinking about this. That's right. Maybe I do need to. Maybe I need to start telling my wife. She's the cleanest person on the planet, right? Maybe I should start leaving purpose behind me that is actually glorifying and that it's good versus this mentality of trying to create death and destruction on my marriage. Because I'm sitting here telling her that she's dirty. You're nasty. You're just dirty, right? Versus, hey, you know what? You're awesome. You're clean. That I'm leaving the good stuff behind. And I'm telling her, hey, baby doll, you're wonderful. Versus, you're awful. You bring all sorts of misery to my life. You're a mean person. There's power in our mouths. There's power. Man, we've got to be very careful that we're leaving purpose everywhere we go. That's what Jesus did. Jesus, he was leaving behind purpose everywhere he went. He's leaving things behind that people are picking up going, I want that. I want this. Do you think that my wife is going to continue to love me and be a good wife if I just tell her all the time that she's dirty and nasty? Nope. Not going to happen. I told you guys a few weeks ago that I'm a basketball coach now. I got 11 kids that I'm in charge of. It's awful. I hate being a basketball coach. I don't like the responsibility of it. I don't want to be in charge of 11 little kids. Not that I don't love being in charge of 11 little kids, but their destiny of basketball. I don't want that responsibility. I mean, some of these kids, they think they're going to the NBA. I'm not going to tell them they're not. Right? Man, yesterday, this one kid, Tommy, I love him. He made the game-winning foul shot. We get in this big circle. He's like, yeah! Everyone jumps around him. They're just screaming for him. And I was like, this is great. This is awesome. Do you think that I went to Tommy and was like, Tommy, you missed the first foul shot. We could have won by two. We only won by one. No. Right? You know, it's funny how what we pick up sometimes, we want to put on other people. Our negativity, our hurt, our pain. I don't want to live this way. I don't want to live that way. I think what hinders us from having a clear vision for our life is some of those things we pick up. And you may not even be a self-examiner, but you need to start. Look at yourself in the mirror, Matthew chapter 7. Before you start pulling out the splinter in someone else's eye, start pulling out the plank in yours. But pay attention to what you've been picking up and leaving behind. Are you leaving behind purpose? Because when you're leaving behind purpose, you're in purpose. Number four, this is what I want for Christmas. I want to walk in divine wisdom toward critical situations that I'm going to face in 2022. That's right. I'm going to say it again. I want to walk in divine wisdom toward critical situations I will face in 2022. When Solomon was asked in the book of Kings, he said, what do you want? He didn't want long life. He didn't want riches. He asked for wisdom to discern. He wanted to know in those daily crises of life what he needs to do. He needs God's voice, and he knew that. God's voice was a deliverance voice. It was a voice of guidance. But we all know the story of Solomon. Where did he go wrong? Well, later on in life, he stopped listening to that voice. He started listening to all the other voices. This year, we've got to stop listening to all the other voices. We need to hear what God is saying. We need to hear what God is saying. Now, some of you may say what I just said earlier, my third point, is somewhat of maybe an oxymoron to this point. Because if we are to be dropping down purpose, then we are giving people some good things. So then how can they listen to that if you're saying only listen to the things of God? Well, guess what? When someone that is leaving purpose behind you, they're not revealing to you revelation that should be new to you. They are only confirming what you already heard from God. God speaks. And when God speaks, this is when you're just listening, man, this is good stuff. If someone who's leaving down purpose, someone who's walking in the presence of God reveals another thing to you, it's only to confirm what God's already been showing you. That's it, period. So you shouldn't be surprised by this. Unfortunately, God's voice, we cover it up with all the other voices. So when circumstances and situations arise, we don't know what to do. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. If you want to receive the strategy needed to assure your victory, you've got to turn your attention to the realm of the Spirit. It is from this realm that you'll hear from God. Now, some of you in this room, you get all weirded out by that type of statement because you're like, what do you mean, spirit stuff? That's where I always say this to you guys. You've just been watching too much Hollywood and Harry Potter. Because you can't distinguish between the two. I'm talking about the supernatural. When Paul writes to the Ephesians in chapter 6 of Ephesians, he's talking about spiritual weapons. Spiritual weapons come from God for a purpose. This is not something that God just throws out to Paul and say, hey, tell everybody about this so that it confuses them. No. God's saying, hey, there are spiritual weapons that are of importance. There's spiritual armor that's of importance. Why? Because there are spiritual strategies that need to be made known. When you are in tune to the spiritual side of life, then you're going to lean into the spiritual things of God to say, God, what is taking place here? This is greater and bigger than what's just before me. I know this. God, I want to put on those spiritual weapons. So, God, give me some spiritual strategies. So as you seek God, it's important for this to stay open to Him, everything that He's saying, because He's going to give you a supernatural strategy. But here's the warning. God has been giving effective strategies that seem strange to the mind of man for a long time. So you've got to be ready. You've got to be willing. When God puts purpose inside of you, when God gives you these things, when I say things, I loosely say that, but biblical promises, and you begin to hold on to those, you begin to operate in those promises, your everyday walk, your everyday life, Christmas becomes just a shadow of what I was saying earlier of that this is the spirit of Christ. It needs to supersede the spirit of Christmas. When you begin to hold on to those things of God and you begin to walk in the things of God, something supernatural takes place. When you begin to have your friends tell you, that's really strange, that seems really crazy. When you hear those words, those, my friends, are fueled to the flame of, yeah, I like this. Because I want to do something crazy for God. I want to do something supernatural. And I'm looking for supernatural strategies. That when God starts telling you to do something and you go, man, this is God only be from God. Then you begin to leave purpose everywhere you go. People are going to say, and they're going to say things to you and look at you, how did you do this? Why are you doing that? God told me to. I knew that this is what God's telling me to do. I don't do this too often, and I want to be careful in doing this, but there's two people in this house, and I'm not going to say their names because I'm going to talk to them later in life. But there's a pastoral anointing on two men in this room. And when I just said that, their heart just leapt. And I know these two men, and they're the most unassuming men in this room. You would know that it would have a pastoral anointing on their life. And in 2022, I'm going to approach them about this pastoral anointing in their life. And I know it to be true. And the reason why I say that out loud is because God's going to start moving in their life to do something supernatural. Now, I only know about these two men in this room. And their wives, by the way. It all comes together. No longer two, but one. For the rest of you in this room, God's speaking to you about something supernatural in your life. Something that's different. That's not just for these two men. I keep pointing to this side for a reason, by the way. There is something supernatural about each one of you. There is something that what you would note and note in your life as being crazy, but really it's just supernatural. This is for you to begin to wake up very early in the morning, to find a solitary place, and begin to pray. And that when you come out of that prayer and people find you and they say, hey, where have you been? You don't even care about those things. You care to tell them, I've got purpose. And you begin to lead them, leaving purpose everywhere you go. My encouragement is that this Christmas, you don't just settle for what the world has to give you, but you begin to believe and trust in God for the supernatural. That you trust in God for something big. That everywhere you go, you're leaving it. Remnants of God everywhere you go. Man, I pray that you rise up, that you expect more, that you look for the deeper things of God, that you rise up mentally with the mentality of the things of God, that you rise up with vision for your life, and that you take on the divine wisdom that God wants you to have. Don't settle for what the world has for you. Christmas has more to give us than natural presents. It's supernatural presents. Let's pray.